Hi everybody, welcome to this week's Healing Meal, where we heal your soul through the meal. Oh my gosh. Hey! Oh my gosh. You know, I am so addicted to the glory of God that nothing else matters. I couldn't give a big rat's turd about what anybody else is doing. I only care about the glory of God. I have to be so full of His glory continuously. Like nothing else takes precedence over that, right? Nobody and nothing comes before the glory of God. It's the only thing that matters. It's the only thing that's eternal. It's the only thing that lives forever. I mean, without it, you're dead. And without it, there is no eternity. So that's why, you know, I want the best, heaven's best. And so that's the only thing that matters. It's the glory of God. You got to be full of it. You got to stay full. Continuously drinking the glory, the river of life that's coming out of the throne of God. Through your belly. And it bubbles up through your belly and out of you flows what? Rivers of living water. Living water. And then He'll strategically place you in places where that living water pours out into the earth and those around you, so everybody can receive and drink off the living water. Isn't that good? He's just a good God like that. He's such a good God. He doesn't care what religion, He doesn't care what person you are, how good or bad you are. If you like Him or if you don't like Him, He will put somebody in your community full of the Spirit of God so their living water pours out so you can drink whether you like it or whether you want it or not. But He knows it's what you need to stay alive. So it's the thing that's going to set you free. It's the thing that's going to change your life. It's the thing... The only thing that's going to ever get rid of the devil out of your life is the living water. And because most people won't drink it, when someone starts drinking, he moves them so into the communities that need it the most. And usually they're the ones that hate Him the most, but they need Him the most. And so He'll put you in a place where you can be that well, and people will drink from you. And they will bite at you and they won't appreciate what you're doing. But that's the gospel. And that's what you're called to, right? As a bride of Christ, the bride of the bridegroom king, you'll do whatever your husband wants you to do because you love him. So it's not about you. It's never been about you. And if you think it's about you, then you're in the wrong gospel. You're not in the gospel at all. The gospel is about him. And about giving that gospel to everybody around you. Whether they like it or not, whether they want it or not. Isn't that amazing? He doesn't play. Holy. So heavy, the Spirit of God. You know, there's all different types of manifestations of the glory. Sometimes it'll be like a... You know, like a methamphetamine type of ecstasy glory that'll put you, it's that holy fire that burns inside of you and it like makes everything fast. It does the fire, that quickness, that does a quickening or a quick work inside of your life, but makes you buzzy, right? Because it's burning through you. And then there'll be other times when it will manifest and it'll be like a heavy drunken spirit, you know, like that'll just make you all oozy and woozy and whoo, what's this, you know, you don't even know what it is most of the time, but it's just the Spirit of God manifesting in a heavy drunken way, delivering you and making you full of Him, getting everything that's not Him out of you. Isn't that good? Against your will. You don't even have a choice. Because He's king and He's sovereign and He owns everything and He owns you. He purchased all of humanity. And everybody's just waking up to the fact that the Spirit of God has been poured out on all flesh, and now we all yield to that Spirit. Who doesn't yield to the Spirit gets poked by the Spirit until they finally wake up to themselves and go, I need God. Because if you don't yield and partner with the Spirit, then you're against the Spirit, and the Spirit's still coming on you whether you like it or not, because it comes out from the heavens and it pours out on all flesh. And so it's going to come on your life whether you like. You don't have a choice. It's just a matter of time before you partner. Some people don't partner to the very end. Some don't partner at all. Some partner earlier, and that's why they have a prosperous and a good life, because they actually partner with God and agree with Him, and then they do His will, which is their perfect will for His perfect will for their life, and so they have a good life, you know. But other people just keep resisting the Holy Spirit, resisting the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's coming whether you like it or not. It's always pouring out on you. It's just a matter of time before He's going to pour through you. And you partner with it, and everything in your life goes good. But if you reject it, it doesn't go good. It doesn't go well at all. Most people have lived in, rejection to the Holy Spirit for a long time, so you know what I'm talking about. Oh, wow. Oh, my Jesus, it's hot already. I just want my hair up. I can't work in this heat, Jesus. It's like I work in the fire constantly, and that's true. Have a scripture. Oh, John 6:4. Hooly dooly, my Jesus, I am whacked. Oh my God, I am so messed up right now in the Holy Ghost. I don't even think I'm going to be able to read the Bible today. Isn't that amazing? Now, the Holy Spirit is everywhere. So you don't have to go to a particular place to receive it. You just got to open up your hands and receive and drink like this. Open your mouth, let the Spirit pour into you. However you want to experience the Spirit of God's up to you. But there's no particular, you can't bottle it. It doesn't belong to a building or a person or an area. I mean, people carry it. And fellowship's glorious, but you don't have to go anywhere. The Spirit's there. I mean, hello, right there in your lounge room, right with you, right where you are. You know, there's no special person that has like the power. We all have the same power, but as I said, some yield and some don't. Some have more revelation and some don't, that's all. So you just listen to teachings like this just to get more revelation, which would just open your, any blockages just come off so you can receive the Spirit in those particular areas. As Jesus sat down, He looked out and He saw the massive crowd of people scrambling up the hill, for they wanted to be near Him. And so He turned to Philip and He said, "Where are we going to buy enough food to feed all these people?" This is God saying it to Philip. So He says, and God knows all things, right? So He's like, "Phil, how are we going to do it?" And now Jesus already knew what He was about to do. And Philip said to Him, "Well, I suppose if we give everybody something to eat, it's going to cost a fortune. I don't know. What are we going to do? We don't have enough money for it." And so Philip immediately took his eyes off who? Jesus, right? So he's sitting there with God. And God's saying, "So Phil, how are we going to feed everybody?" And, so He's just testing him. He was testing the response. What response is He going to get? Is He going to say, "I don't know what we're going to do. How are we going to manage? How is this going to work? I mean, I guess if we give them a little bit each, I mean, it's going to cost heaps. We don't have it." He straight away went into His natural thinking, and He didn't even, He's there with the King of Glory Himself. And he didn't even enter into the potential of Jesus providing, the provision coming from God. It was like, well, his eyes were on the money. His eyes were on the money. How are we going to do it? If we do that, it's going to cost this, 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 and that. And we don't have that type of money. How's it ever going to work? And Jesus was just testing him to see if he was going to ever, if he was going to say, well, you're God, you feed him, you're going to feed him, you're going to look after everybody, because that's what you do. So he was just testing him. And we can do that a lot of the time, right? We take our eyes off God and put our eyes on the circumstance or the problem, and then we're concerned more about how it's going to happen rather than just keep our eyes on Jesus and just keep saying yes. And you just keep walking, and he always provides. But our eyes are never on the money. Ever, ever, ever on the money. We always just give, give, give. Give it away, give it away, give it away. And we never put our eyes on money or concerned about how we're going to survive or how it's going to happen. We just go through every door, every opportunity that's of the Lord. By hearing his voice inside of your mind. Listening to the inner audible voice of the Holy Spirit and being led completely by the Holy Spirit. Trusting God and not trusting man. Trusting in the Spirit of God. The Sovereign King who knows all things. Right? Not in anybody else. As soon as you start to put your trust and your faith in a man, you're already cutting God off. Or put your trust and faith in money. You know? Well, if we have enough money, we can do it. I mean, how many of you have heard that all your life? Well, as soon as we get enough money, we'll do it. Right? And we see that generation that went before us never did anything. They didn't do it. Because they never quite had enough money. And so they totally didn't enter the promised land, and they stayed in the wilderness, and then they try to impart that wilderness mentality onto the next generation. You'll never be able to do it. You need to work hard. You need to stay in your job. You need to stay here. You need to do that. Don't give up your job. Don't ever walk in faith. Stay in that job and by the sweat of your brow, work until you're 70 years old and hopefully you get 100K super to survive for your next 20 years. You know, like just that wilderness slavery mentality, because here is Moses coming as the deliverer saying, come on, we're about to go into the promised land, we're going to take you. And they're all like, no, 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 right? And nobody entered. But the Joshua generation enters in. We enter in to the promised land and we take it. And we walk by faith and we have no fear and we know our God. And he provides. And this isn't a greedy generation that inherits the promises and the land of milk and honey. This is the generation who loves and worships their God. And they've emptied their heart out of everything else that was interfering with that worship. All those money idols, mammon, trying to fill your heart with darkness and black matter, trying to keep your eyes and mind associated and in agreement with things that aren't of God. You know, trying to pull you into sin, trying to pull you into darkness. You know, that older generation trying to always keep you in the wilderness because they didn't have the guts to enter in themselves. They didn't have the faith for it. And as soon as you start to manifest the faith to walk into the promised land, a promised land that you can't see but only he can, so your eyes are fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. He perfects your faith. He gives you the faith. He increases your faith. He stretches your faith. He tests your faith. Faith is the substance of all things hoped for. Faith is the keys to the kingdom. You can't do anything without faith. It's faith that pleases God. It's not the amount of hours you worked this week. The amount of hours you worked this week and your salary income, that pleases your natural parents who are still sitting in the wilderness. The only thing that pleases your Father, your Heavenly Father, is that you, what? He says, hate your mother and father, or hate their ways. Hate that old generation, that old covenant, that old style, that old way of thinking. Hate that. And enter into the promised land and enter in. Into the kingdom. A lot of the Christians haven't entered the kingdom because they're still stuck and entrapped and ensnared by sin, by money, by church and religious programs, and they they can't break free from it because they keep these people around them that try to trap them and keep their thinking tied down over here, right? But this generation breaks free from that because they've already had everything the devil's had thrown at them. So this is the generation that truly enters into the promised land. They don't listen to the naysayers. They don't listen to the haters. And they certainly don't listen to the people that say it can't be done. And the gossipers and those jealous and envious ones that aren't doing it and trying to get you not to do it either because, you know, if you do it and they're the ones that told you don't do it and you end up doing it and you're right, they're going to look really stupid, aren't they? Right? So if they can keep you from ever trying, then they'll never look stupid to you. And you'll continue to listen to them. You'll continue to give them all your power. You know? It's a glorious thing to enter the kingdom because it's continual glory flowing through your body. It's the perfect wisdom of God. It's perfect wisdom being made perfect. His wisdom makes you perfect. Inner holiness, that holy fire burning inside of you, is like it makes you pure fire, which is like gold, like that light burning through you, like it's fortified. Nothing can shake you. Nothing moves you. The only thing that moves you is one thing and one thing only, the Spirit of God. You move when He moves because in Him you move and have your being. So He died on a cross and brought everybody into Himself. And now inside of Him, we move and we have our being. We are one with Him. We don't listen to any natural person. We're completely and utterly possessed and controlled by God and God only. He is our covering. He sits on top of our mind and He controls us. His thoughts are our thoughts because we have the mind of Christ. We start to see things. We start to know things. We start to dream things because the Spirit of God's possessed us so much. And nothing else fear. We don't play church. We don't play those little games. I mean, they've been doing that for generation after generation after generation after generation. And it's still the same. It's still the same. This is an absolute different way of doing it. The army of God, the sons and daughters of God manifesting into the fullness of what they were created for. Amen? Wow. Holy Jesus. Thank you, God. So it never matters about what you have in the natural because our God's supernatural and He's from heaven. And so even though we're looking at what we might have around us now and we think, how can it possibly be done? Well, we don't actually have the resources right now. But it's when you say yes and you go and do it that the resources are provided supernaturally. A lot of people never walk in that type of faith. They're entrapped with tradition. They're so fearful. So fearful. They spend so much time in their own mind trying to work out and plan and think about how my life is going to go or the life of their children. And rather than actually give their children on the altar to the living God, there's only one living God, the one that rose from the dead and He's resurrected and He comes in power, might and glory through our bodies. The parousia is the second coming of Christ coming through your mind. Through your body, where there's a billion Jesuses walking on the earth. Do you think Jesus is worried about the future of your children? He knows the plans He has for them. He knows what they're called for. He knows why He created them. But if you're not worshiping the living God, then you've got no clue why your kid was created, and you're going to be sitting there trying to work out the best solution for their life. Some people, the best thing they can come up with is hopefully they marry a good guy. I mean, if you're still stuck in tradition and you're trying to hold on tradition rather than be free in the spirit with the living God, then that's all you're going to get. How limited are you living? Are you living that limited that you're putting your faith and your trust in your own natural thinking or about what you see around you? Or are you bold enough to step out and say, I'm going to live by faith? I was born for such a time as this. I'm born for much more than this. You know, the creator of all things, I'm going to trust in that spirit and I'm going to walk by that spirit and actually do it. Not just think it or talk about it. Just a lot of mouth talk. I'm actually going to step out and do it in faith, in truth. But those who don't like truth will reject the spirit of truth. God isn't a liar. He doesn't father lies. So if you've got lies in you, or you live by lies because it's the only way you know how to live, then you're not fathered by God. You're fathered by different gods who are demons pretending to be God. But there's no darkness in our God. He doesn't lie. And he'll never lead you down a path of lies. So if you're being led down a path of lies, you're listening to Satan and not God. So stop listening to Satan. Listen to the true living God who will never lead you down the path of lies. He'll never lead you down the path of deception. He will never try to make you go and live a life that's wrong. Because he's righteous. He's like, the Lord is my righteousness, right? He's called he's the righteousness of God. There's no lie in him or no wrong in him. Anybody that's trying to lead you down a path of lies or trying to get you to live that way, they are not listening to the living God, and you can put your bottom dollar on that one. So I would just be very careful, very wise about what words you're drinking. Right? Because every word has a spirit on it. So if you're burning with the holy fire of God, if you're burning with Jesus Christ and he's your possessor, then you're possessed and your words are literally Jesus. But if you're listening to 100 other gods who are demons in actual fact pretending to be gods, or listening to words of other people that are worshipping demons, then you're drinking demonic wisdom. And that's not the wisdom that's going to get you the breakthrough. That's not the wisdom that's going to actually transform and give you the prosperity and the kingdom that you're meant to be inheriting. Everyone's called to the inheritance, but too many are distracted out here. People pleasing and lying, cheating, stealing, these aren't the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians is joy. Hey, but they're just so fearful they don't trust God. God's a good God. He's going to provide for you. He'll give you everything you need in your life. He'll take away everything that's wrong for you. You just can trust the Holy Spirit. He is 100% your best friend. He is the best God ever. He will totally and literally transform your entire thinking, your belief systems. He will clean you up and he will make you brand new. What do you think being born again is? Born again is being a brand new heavenly being. So what you are now in your born again nature, that'll continually grow and transform and mature, right? And you will be at that level when you go into eternity. This is your eternal being now. So what you do now in your born again life is what will be go on forever. It doesn't change. So, all right. Abstain. Be quick to abstain from senseless traditions and legends, but instead be engaged in the training of truth that brings righteousness. For athletic training only benefits you for short season, but righteousness brings lasting benefit in everything. For righteousness contains the promises of life, for time and eternity. Faithful is the word, and everyone should accept him. So until I come, be diligent in devouring the word of God and be faithful in prayer and in teaching the believers. Don't minimize the powerful gift that operates in your life, for it was imparted to you by the laying on of hands and blah, blah, blah. That's not what I want to read, though. Am I in the right? No, because I'm not in the right thing. That's why I couldn't read it. Hey! Whoa, 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 whoa. Huh. Found a typo. But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine. Love in all its various expressions. The love is revealed through joy, peace, patience, kindness, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. You can trust the Holy Spirit with your entire life. He will look after you, and He will honestly make sure everything, you are protected, and you will go through things, and you will experience trials by fire, and temptations will come left, right, and center. But as you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the glorious King of Heaven, and He will walk you perfectly through this life, and your destiny will unfold as you walk, as you trust and you learn to hand everything to Him and let Him control you instead of you trying to take everything back and control it. He will look after your children. He will look after your family. He will look after everybody around you. You can trust God with your life. He's an amazing God. He's not a harsh, punishing God. He's a gentle, kind, loving God. Kind God who just loves you and desires the attention or the affections of your heart toward Him. You can put everything in that basket and trust the Holy Spirit to lead you perfectly. It's just a literal commitment in your heart to Jesus Christ alone, the Holy Spirit of God. Father God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, one God manifested in three people, so you can experience God through your human nature, through your body, through your being here on the earth. The Holy Spirit is Jesus. The Holy Spirit is God Himself. So it's not complicated. It's just a literal expressing, letting the Spirit express Himself through you and through everything around you. Always rejecting evil, always rejecting the temptation to sin, which is bringing you into lie or to darkness or to try and bring you out of truth. So then that way it can try to ensnare you and keep you trapped. But the only thing you want to do is you want to be entrapped in the truth Himself, the Spirit of truth. Nothing else matters except Jesus and the Holy Spirit on this earth. He's the Lord of the earth. The Holy Spirit is the only God on the earth right now, and He's living, alive, and active, and He comes through your breath. He comes through the breath of life, and that Spirit, that sword, it will go through into your whole being, and it will remove and cut away everything that's hurting you so you can just be pure and holy and just Him and Him alone burning through you. So those other things that are darkness and lies, they can't hurt you anymore. They come out of you. Right? They come out of you. And then you move into the fullness of where you were actually created. It's an amazing journey. He's so amazing. Thank you, Jesus, for it. Thank you, Lord, that you're in all things and through all things. And, you know, in you we do move and have our being. That you're the creator and the maker of all humans. And religion and tradition and, you know, the fear of man, all of that is just a snare for the soul, and it entraps us and keeps us in slavery and in the wilderness and under the law. And we come into the Spirit of God, which is freedom and truth and prosperity, and nothing entraps us. We let go of everything because nothing's more important to us than the glory of God. That amazing glory that pours through our body and it fills our temple with the living God, fills our temple with the living God. It's like oil through our body. It pours through our mind and it pours through our body. That's God. That's His presence. That's who He is, a spirit, right? He's not here to scare you. He's not here to command you to do this and do that. He's here to direct your life on the path of light that leads you to wholeness and goodness and fruitfulness, so you have a fruitful and a good life. It's an amazing thing. There's nothing religious about God at all. And I was talking to some people today about how, you know, the generation before us, you know, I hear so many that are worried about, oh, they're taking over our country or, you know, this or that. But, you know, so many of we have this beautiful country that was, you know, this Christianized. We had God over it. You know, God was the God of this land. We had so many opportunities. We could have bought houses and do everything. But, you know, so many just wasted that generation, wasted their life drinking alcohol and being drunk all the time, that they totally didn't worship God. They worshipped the bottle, and the other kid, their generation had to raise them. And they imparted to them the only thing that they knew about God, which was religion, which isn't God at all. And it doesn't give anybody any breakthrough to worship that religious God. The only breakthrough you're ever going to get is allowing that Spirit of God pouring through your body and listening to that inner audible voice of the Holy Spirit and following His directions for your life. It's the perfect thing. It's the perfect way to live. And you will see His perfect prophetics right throughout all of creation, how it's always talking back to us, trying to wake us up. Right? Creation is speaking to us because it's the Spirit of God in and all through all things. So it's talking back to us to awaken us to the reality of who He is, to the reality of the realness of God Himself, Jesus Christ, through the Spirit of God, talking to us to wake up the children of God, waking our manifest so we can manifest as sons and daughters of God and walk in the glory and the power, so we can take our generation into the promised land where everything is given for free. It's for free. The gift of salvation is for free. There's no dying on the cross and then now we've got to pay for everything we've ever done. It was a free gift. No doing religion so we're doing everything right in the eyes of God. Righteousness is a person, and He's made all of us right by us in faith, by our faith in Him. We can't do anything right to be right with God except through faith in Jesus Christ, and it's made us righteous. And now through that waking of the Spirit, that Spirit that's talking to us through everybody and everything, which is in your face saying, hello, I'm God, here I am, can you just listen to me? I'm trying to wake you up. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit's here trying to wake us up, talking to us through anything. He spoke to us through a donkey in the Bible, right? It's to wake us up to who we really are. Who are we? The sons and daughters of God. Manifested sons and daughters of God, walking with their Lord in the Garden Eden here. This is Eden, the spiritual paradise of God. And we're walking with our God in the coolness of the day. He's our God. He's our protector. He won't let anything hurt us. We're in covenant with Him. We're in partnership with Him. And that's it. And we walk now as sons and daughters of God, totally healed, totally recovered, totally set free, and into the promised land, taking our entire generation with us. Amen. God bless you guys. Donate to Raw Street Ministries. We could use some help. It's a good thing to do. Partner with us at rawstreet.com. God bless you. Talk to you next week.